Shivani.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Brand Game Strong.
Oh.
It's so nice to have you here in person.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I know, me too. So I remember that we recorded in 2020.
Yeah.
And I know that's the time we kind of became friends and got to know each other. And I never released that episode because...
Oh my gosh, didn't you?
No, and it was because, I don't know, I think I was going through a lot at the time.
Yeah.
And I think the pressure of editing, and because it was all on Zoom, it was quite stressful, just a lot of hours of time, just like trying to get footage ready and get it out and stuff. And I don't know, I think sometimes it's a timing thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like timing has worked.
That was a weird time. It was like during the pandemic, wasn't it? I remember I was living in Dubai.
Yes.
That's how we made friends.
Yeah.
I think you reached out to me about this.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, let's hang out anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And then we just like randomly started chilling and going to like Pilates.
Something good came out of it.
It did. And I remember actually, I reached out to you for a very specific reason, which was that you had started a YouTube channel at the time. And I remember that you were sharing a lot of things about how you were taking care of yourself and what you were reading, which was the main thing for me, because I was like, oh my gosh, she's a model and she like reads and she journals and that's so cool. And I think there is a preconception, isn't there, about the modeling industry and about models. And I think there's this mindset or mentality that models are just kind of there to just look pretty and sit pretty and that's about it. There's not much more people question or ask. And I know we'll get into it, but I think that was something that really kind of struck me. And maybe a lot of it was my own, you know, conditioning and the way that I'd been brought up. But yeah, I just remember thinking, wow, this is refreshing and this is awesome. And I want to talk to her on my podcast.
Aww.
And then I just feel like you have a lot of things to share and you're very introspective and you're a Scorpio like me. And we're both wearing black. So.
Oh my gosh, how fitting.
That's the main thing, isn't it? It's the Scorpio-ness that's brought us together.
Yeah, I think so.
For sure.
I feel like we're like, we have so many things that are similar.
Yes.
Yeah. Like when we talk, it's just like we go deep, don't we?
Yeah.
So yeah.
And I actually, as an adult, I've realized that a lot of the friendships I've made in my mid to late 20s, especially, have been with people that I can have deep chats with, and not in a kind of cliche condescending way, but genuinely just like, there is so much about life to talk about.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. I know we get really kind of in our feels as well.
We do. My moon in Pisces.
Yes.
What's your moon in?
That's a really good question. I think it might be Virgo.
Yeah,
but
I feel like we did check this.
Yeah.
Check it again.
I will check again. I just want to start off by saying a huge thank you for coming today.
Aww.
And to begin with, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and your background. So, you know, what's your like cultural background? Where did you grow up? And what you do full time for work?
Okay, so I don't like saying this. I don't know why, but I'm a model. I don't know. It's not that I'm not proud of it. I just feel like what you said at the beginning, you know, like when you say you're a model, people are like, oh, like she's just a model. So I don't like opening up with that. I like saying other things, but I guess like my job is that I'm a model.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in London, but then we moved to the Midlands when I was very young. I think I was like 5 or 6 months old. So I've been raised in the Midlands, but because of work, I've just lived all over.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when I say that I'm a model, I always get in there. I'm like, but I studied marketing at university just to get it in, you know, so it doesn't feel like it's all just about the modeling. But yeah, primarily modeling, marketing, which I didn't really do much with because I started modeling whilst I was studying.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions as to like how you got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do get into the modeling, which I think we're going to spend ages probably talking about, I want to get back to your childhood because I just think it's so fascinating, right? Hearing about where we've come from, what experiences we've had. And I really want to know, who was young Shivani? What was she passionate about? Did she have a lot of friends in school? Was she very studious? Was she not very studious? Was she bullied? Was she the bully? I want to know everything.
I feel like all my baby pictures are like just me being really cheeky. My mom and sister always say this as well. Like if you look at all my baby pictures, I'm always like pulling faces or like sticking my tongue out. They'd be like on a film camera, like counting us in. And then when it would go to click, I would always like do something silly. So I think mischievous not naughty, not in like, I wasn't misbehaved, but I was like cheeky, I think. And yeah, I just don't know, like my background was just normal, I think, kind of. I have a single mom. So it was me, my mom, my sister, so women. My family are like very female. It's very female dominant. Like it's all women, very strong women. And at school, yeah, I was really into my studies, to be honest. I really, really wanted to like, I had this inner thing, like, I don't know, it's like an inner wanting to like be something. Mm. I've had that in me ever since I was really young. So I was like really on it with my education.
Yeah.
Right up until like all through primary school, high school and university, I was like, I have to like be the top of my class at everything.
Mm.
So that was something that was in me, which is so weird because I've gone on to become a model, which doesn't require me to like, I guess you do have to be educated, but obviously I don't have to be like very book smart. Mm. But yeah, I guess that's where like for me the reading and stuff comes into it because I still like to learn.
Yes.
And I'm really passionate about learning as well. What else about my childhood? I've just got like, I've got mixed memories, but like mainly good memories. Mm. We're Hindu, Punjabi. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've got the whole cultural thing. My mom's like very religious as well. So I had that growing up. What else? I guess like primary school, I was like, okay. High school, I had a lot of friends. Mm. So I had like a good social life.
Yeah.
Sixth form as well, good social life. Uni, I was like, it depended on my mood. I feel like I started to become a bit more of a Scorpio. I can choose when I want to be like extroverted or introverted. I feel I can be really extroverted or really introverted. So when I was at uni, I was like playing around with that a bit more. Mm. And there were some years where I was just like by myself. I didn't want to be friends with anyone. And then I think my first year, like I was so social.
Mm. I'm so similar to that as well. Like I can turn off and on the extrovertedness.
I think it's a Scorpio thing.
So too. And it's interesting because naturally I am an introvert, as in I never thought I was, because I had a period where I got really, really social and I thought, oh, I'm super extroverted, and I realized, why am I so tired all the time?
It's exhausting sometimes.
And even now I think in my late 20s I will, you know, have days that are super busy because we all are just so busy a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, seeing lots of different people, talking to people, having conversations. And I think I've definitely trained myself to be able to just talk. And I was super awkward before even talking. I'd always say the wrong thing and then I'd go home and like stress about it.
Yeah.
But I come home after a few days of that and I'm just like having a meltdown because I'm like, I don't know why I'm so grumpy and tired. And
I feel like we get our energy from being alone. Like some people get it from being around people.
Yes.
But we get it. I mean, I think, yeah.
Does it make us selfish, do you think?
I don't think it makes us selfish because I feel like everyone has to get their energy back, you know, whether it be like through socializing or like we do, like just being on your own. Mm-hmm. You have to like fill your own cup up, don't you, with your energy, whatever it is. Like you have to, you just have to like, I don't know, get in the right frame of mind as well to talk to people again.
Yes.
And I feel like I do that by being alone.
Mm.
I don't think it makes me selfish, but for me, like I don't really have any commitments really, like with my family life, like relationships and stuff like that. Like I don't have any of that. So it doesn't really affect people if I want to be on my own. But for you, I think it's a little bit different.
It's different. Yeah. I think also partly being in London, right?
Yeah.
Like I think you're physically around people all the time. And what ends up happening is you naturally become committed to people because you're just down the road.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, let's just meet in Soho. It's 20 minutes away. Or, you know, I'll do dance. And then I'm like every week I'm like hanging out with people.
Mm.
And there is a genuine question of like when you are in a city like London or, you know, in a place that's bustling and your social life is quite active.
Mm.
Who are your real friends?
Yeah.
I think that's a, you know, real thing that I think about sometimes. I'm like, you know, if I had like, I don't know, like when I get married or when I have a hen do, who am I going to want there?
Yeah.
And sometimes it is like, oh, I don't know, because sometimes it changes quite, you know, from year
it
to
does,
year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I've kind of just learned to flow with it.
Yeah.
Rather than get really caught up about why I'm not talking to a certain person or friend anymore and things like that.
Yeah.
What's your relationship like with your friendships at the moment at this age?
I feel like I've been called a popular loner like so many times.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've got so many friends, but I don't have so many close friends, or even like my closest friends hardly see me or don't even live in the same country as me. And they don't, I don't know if this is selfish, but they don't really expect me to like check in that often as well. And they don't check in that often with me. And we have like that mutual understanding. But yeah, because I've traveled through work, I've made friends everywhere, but you can feel something, right? Like obviously with certain people, you connect better than you do with other people. So there are a handful of those people, but yeah, like I feel like my main friends are like my family. For me, I'm very close with my family. My mom's my best friend. Aww. Yeah. And I live with her right now, so it's good. And yeah, with other people, I don't know, like my mom's partner said something to me once. He said that people are like buses, and you get on one bus, you get off it, you get on another bus. And he was like, just remember that all your relationships are like temporary, even though that kind of feels a bit sad because you want some friendships to be forever. I'm sure that some of them can be. And I know I've got friends that I've been friends with for years, but I always keep that in the back of my mind. That things are, like you said, always changing and like flowing, and you've just got to kind of like ride the wave, haven't you?
Yeah.
So I just make sure that I'm my own best friend, I guess, and that if I feel comfortable in myself, then I'm fine. And I've gotten to that point now. I think when I was younger, I used to have like a little bit of codependency around friends. Like I would be like, oh, like I need to be, I guess it was because I was quite popular at school and at university. So I was like, always wanted people around me. But no, I'm like the complete opposite now.
Yeah.
I enjoy my own company.
Yeah. We're maturing, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so you said that you were Hindu Punjabi. What was your relationship like with your roots when you were growing up?
I feel like it was a little bit mixed. Our family is like quite traditional, but it's more like my, I don't want to say extended family because I am quite close with my cousins and my aunt, but they're more traditional or like cultural because of my aunt's in-laws, so my cousin's grandparents and stuff. But my mom, from a very young age, she kind of like cut off everything. I think because, you know, my mom's had like quite a traumatic life and she's seen a lot of ups and downs, bless her. So I think she started to realize things like, I guess, like, I don't want to badmouth the whole of the like society, but it can be quite toxic, can't it?
Yes.
You know, so my mom just got out of that when we were really young. Plus, obviously, when I was really young, she was going through a divorce. Our area that we lived in was like, it was just all English people, really. So we were raised around them. I think me and my sister were like two of, I think there were like a handful, like maybe like four or five Indian people in our school. And we were two of them. So we were like, yeah.
How did that shape who you are now? Do you think you're closer to your roots now as an adult? Do you not think about it that often?
I think I am now because when I went to university, there were a lot of Indian people, even though initially, like, I didn't gravitate towards them at all. I tried to stay away from them because I found them really scary. I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know how to talk to these people. And my mom was like trying to prep me. I was like, Mom, I don't know how to talk to them. Like, they're so different. And it was their culture came through.
Yes.
In their mannerisms and everything, in the way they speak, their clique. So I was just out of it completely in my first year. I just didn't go near Indian people, really.
What university did you go to?
I went to Aston. Yeah. I got thrown in the deep end.
I get it.
I went from like an all white English high school and sixth form to Aston. And I was just like shocked. But I found my people in my first year. And then as I went on, I was fine. Plus, through modeling, like I've lived in India. The first time I went to India, I stayed there for 6 months. And then I went back. I've stayed there for like 3 months, 3 months, 6 months. Like I've spent a lot of time over there living and working. So that definitely threw me in the deep end when it came to like our culture. And, you know, modeling over there, modeling and like acting and stuff, it all goes hand in hand. So when you're modeling, you're thrown in with people that are also in Bollywood and, you know, dancers, singers, whatever. So, yeah.
What was that like for you? Like, were you super starstruck going to India? Because you lived in Mumbai, right?
Yeah.
Did you grow up like with that, watching that and kind of looking up to that? Or was that kind of something that was never part of your life?
Not really. I feel like that was more for like the other people in my family, like my cousins and stuff, I know they're really into it. So that would rub on us like a little bit, but not too much. So when I got there, I really didn't know who anyone was.
Was there anything that surprised you about going out there and, you know, like, did you learn anything new from actually being in the deep end? Because obviously there's a perception around this industry, modeling, acting, all of that. And then there's the reality. And I think many of us here, there is quite a drastic difference between what we expect it to be and what it is. Not always in the negative way, just different sometimes as well. I mean, I'm sure there's negative things too. But what was the one thing maybe that kind of struck you from, you know, traveling and being out there for work?
I think just the culture shock, and not in a way that like you would probably expect. When I would go to India when we were younger, it was like, obviously there's a huge culture shock. But when I went to Mumbai, the culture shock was like, I think it was more the culture of the industry. I expected it to be a certain way. I expected it to be like going back home to like Punjab in the summer or whatever. And the reality of it was that like things are extremely advanced over there and more advanced than maybe at that time we would think. So because I first went over there in like 2017, I think it comes through more now in like movies and like series and stuff like that, or social media, that they're very advanced over there. But in 2017, I think there was like a shift happening at that point where that had started to come through. So yeah, when I got there, I was like completely shocked. I thought like, wow, like they're fully like partying, going out, doing all this stuff that we probably don't even do over here. And I was like well out of place because they expected me to act a certain way because I'm from London. And I was like, bro, like, we sit and read books and we don't really drink that much in a night out. We don't party. Like, no.
It's so interesting because I had a very similar experience. Like, I think when you go to India with a certain accent when you speak in English as well, and maybe you look a certain way, you dress a certain way, they know you're not from there, right?
Yeah.
And I think people automatically treat you different, because I have, you know, been in that space where I've like trained with, you know, some of the choreographers out there. Not much, but whatever little I have experienced, they honestly, I felt very out of place when I was there. And I was just like, I'm being judged just for being me. And it wasn't the nicest feeling, actually. But I think as I probably go back more often and kind of experience it more, I think I'll probably come to terms with it as well and get more comfortable knowing that there's a bit of a culture shock.
Yeah.
So maybe the fact that you've also been there a few times now, that's probably like made you a bit more comfortable and like mentally prepared, right?
Yeah, to definitely
experience it. So cool that you've traveled a lot. I know that you are a little bit of a free spirit, because we talk about it, and I think it's one of the things that I admire so much about you. What does it feel like just traveling and being around like different people and different countries and different cultures? Like, is that something that you envision for yourself like long term, or is it, do you think it's a phase for you right now that you're in?
No, I think for me it's a way of living. Like, it's definitely not a phase. I think that if anything, it's more, I think of like the opposite. I couldn't imagine myself like being tied down to anything, really. I find it really difficult.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult. My mom knows this about me. Like, I don't like answering to anyone. I don't like, I think my whole family know it, actually. Even when I travel, they'll know that I'll just turn up in the country and then I'll message them like, oh, hi from Dubai, or like, hi from India. And my mom's like, oh my goodness, like, I thought you were going to London for the day. That's like a common thing that happens.
Wow.
In our family. And they all know it because they're like, oh, she has a suitcase and she's like going to London. I'm like, yeah, I'm going for the week. And then I'm like in another country. Because I don't like to tell people what I'm doing. I just don't like the feeling of like answering to anyone. So I feel like for me, I could never do like something that restricts me, like a 9-to-5. And it's never gonna happen for me, ever. I'm gonna make sure of it. I think it would just like, it's almost like it would just clip my wings, you know what I mean? So I need this. It's like a need now for me. I have to like be on the go and on the move, and like I can't feel tied down. Just something in me.
You were made to soar, I think, and you're doing it, which is amazing, because I guess not everyone has these opportunities either, right? To do it.
Yeah.
And I'm very similar. I hate answering to people. And I really think it's a Scorpio thing again. I know so, we're talking about it a lot, but like genuinely, I was such a people pleaser as a kid and always just like fitting in the boxes, always unhappy.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, I do whatever I want. And it's actually really liberating.
But it's going to be difficult when I get in a relationship, I think.
Yes.
Because, he's going to have to be very open-minded.
Yes. I think... With regards to like, you know, being free, there comes an element of, you know, financial kind of uncertainty, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So with your job, you are pretty much an entrepreneur because you run your own brand, right? Yeah. You are Shivani Sharma, the model, and people know you as that. And so they hire you as that. And so how does it work from a financial perspective when you have like certain months where maybe you're not getting as much work? Like, how do you manage all of that and also the anxiety of it?
Yeah, I think what happened with me is like initially when I started modeling, I've never been like that attached to it.
Mm.
So when I started doing it, a lot of people had like taken a year out of education to go traveling or whatever. So I went into it thinking like, oh, I'll just do it for a year. And then if it doesn't work out or whatever, I can just go on and get like a real job. So then in that year, I had no anxiety because I was like, oh, whatever I make and whatever happens is like good, and I'm fine. But then I've always known, I guess, that I do have a roof over my head, you know. I'm really grateful for that. And just because my mom, like, bless her, she saved up, she made sure that we have like something. So I've always known I've got a roof over my head. But then as the years have gone on, I think I've just been really sensible with like... my finances. Like, I make sure I save, I make sure that I invest. Like, I was always very like, I had really high goals for myself. I was like, I want to come out of uni and buy a house. Like, it was so unrealistic, but I was like, this is what I want to do. So how do I do it? So yeah, I guess I just asked the right people the right questions, and I just would always try and make sure that I've saved so that I'm not like, because like you said, it's very temporary, right? Like, I could be in an accident tomorrow and all this could be over. And I always have that in the back of my head.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah.
That's kind of scary. And I wanted to come to that because with my job, I am in a 9-to-5. I am doing the thing that you've said you won't do. And I also said I would never do it one time. And what I realized over the years was that it works for me.
Yeah.
Because of my mental health, because of my situation that I live in London. I can't live at my parents' because they live in a different country. Yeah. So it's a very different situation. And I think I've made the most of it. But what I realize a lot is that I rely on my brain for work, right? And I sit in front of a desk all day. And yes, it's stressful, all of this, but there's a lot of comfort that comes with that. There's a level of stability and security knowing that, you know what you said about you could be in an accident tomorrow and all of this would be over for you. What is it like kind of having that thought in your head at all times that I am relying on the way I look a lot of the time for my work more than, you know, using my brain all day? I'm sure you do a combination of both, but the industry you're in is very based on how you look, right? So how do you navigate that feeling, and have you had moments of difficulty with it?
I have it in the back of my head, but I don't like live, I try not to live in the anxiety of like thinking, oh, this could happen or that could happen. This might come across a bit deep, but I feel like it's also to do with like your destiny and things like that. And whatever's meant to be, I always feel like any problem that will come ahead of me, I'm like more than equipped to deal with it. And, you know, it might be that I am in an accident tomorrow, but then because of my belief system, I feel like if that was to happen, then I can deal with that.
Yes.
And then there's always another avenue. I always try and have like a positive outlook on it. Like there's multiple roads that you can go down. There's multiple avenues, you know? So I try not to think about it every day. I mean, it's there just to be sensible, just so I don't go like nuts, you know what I mean? And think, oh, I just don't want to model anymore. Cause I've done that a few times.
Okay.
I have that, that like switch, I guess, that I can just flip. And then I'm like, oh, like, I don't want to say that I can be reckless, but I can be, I don't know what the right word is, a bit crazy, I guess. I just do like crazy things.
A bit spontaneous.
Like,
yeah.
Very spontaneous. And there's been times where I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this, I'm doing this now. And like my mom's like grounding me, like, calm down. You're not quitting modeling. You're not doing this. Like you're not moving to the other side of the world. Yeah. But yeah, so I have to kind of like, I guess, ground myself in that way and just... I don't know. I just always have it in the back of my head that you can deal with anything that comes ahead of you.
Mm.
That helps me. So far it's worked.
Yeah, you're doing great. You said you studied marketing. Was that part of, you know, you kind of keeping your options open at the time? Did you know you wanted to be a model at the time? Like, what were your ambitions when you were growing up of, I want to be this when I'm an adult?
Yeah, I think every week I wanted to be something different.
Tell me a few.
I feel like I mean, I wanted to go into law.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I wanted to go into, actually, like whether it be law or like, I don't know, like it was always to do with helping people.
Mm.
There were so many different things, but it was, I remember at one point I was like, I want to go into theater and drama, but I want to be like I found a job and it's like a drama therapist. So you can, it's just through the arts of like helping people, but doing it through acting, whatever, and movement. And that was one thing that I was like, I'm seriously going to pursue because I loved drama at sixth form and in high school. But yeah, every week there was a different thing. But when I look back on all the things that I wanted to be, it always comes down to like wanting to help people.
Mm.
And even though I'm modeling now, I feel like that is like a long-term goal for me to hopefully be able to do something good. Mm. But yeah.
Well, this is step one.
Yeah, I guess it is.
So when you started modeling at uni, I think it was it your second year, you said?
Mm-hmm.
What surprised you the most about it?
When I started modeling?
Mm.
Unfortunately, I felt like some of the things that you hear around modeling are actually true.
Mm.
That surprised me because I always like to think like, oh, people put people in boxes or, you know, there's like people stereotype things and stuff like that, but it's not actually true.
Mm.
But unfortunately, some of the things are unfortunately true that you hear, which is a bit of a shame. It's not all bad. But yeah, that was something that surprised me because I think I'm so open-minded. So I thought like, oh no, like people are just saying that, but yeah.
Mm. And you like to see the good in people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you protect your peace in that sort of environment?
When I'm on set, I think I don't know if this is again bringing it all back to being a Scorpio, but I like to just like sit and like watch a lot initially. Like, I won't talk to everyone if it's a new team. I'll just kind of, like, sit there and, like, every shoot for me is different. Like, I just try and, like, suss out the whole situation. And then, you know, I've gotten to a point in life now where it's, like, the complete opposite to when I was younger, when I used to meet people and think, like, not am I good enough for them, but I guess I would just try and, like, maybe I was a bit of a people pleaser, but the older I get, the more I'm like, is this situation kind of good enough for me or at least for me to put my energy into? So I'll just kind of like sit, watch, and then get a feel for like the group, the team, like the vibe, everything. And then I like decide on whether I want to put my energy into it or not. And I guess by doing that, I'm protecting my own energy, right? My own peace. And I do that for every shoot that I go to.
Mm.
So I'm different on each set, depending on like what's going on around me.
By doing that, do people assume you're bitchy?
I think I have the resting bitch face.
So do I.
So that doesn't help. But yeah, I feel like on every single shoot that I go to initially, people do think that I'm bitchy. They're like, oh my God, she's going to be a madam. I've heard people be like, we were looking at your Instagram and oh my gosh, like I didn't sleep last night because I thought this girl's going to be a nightmare. And this will be like towards the end of the shoot or like an hour into talking to me when they're like, oh my God, you're so nice. I get that every time. Like, you are actually so nice, as though they're like shocked. They're like, you're so sweet. And I'm like, how many times are you going to say it? Like, did you think that I wouldn't be? And then they're like, yeah, we thought that you wouldn't be.
Mm.
So yeah, because I'm a little bit quiet at the beginning, just because I'm trying to suss things out, they do think that I'm probably going to be a bit of a nightmare. Mm. But then they get pleasantly surprised, so it's good.
Mm. And then they look at your TikTok. And yeah. Really funny on there.
I've archived all of that stuff, by the way.
How actually, what's that journey been like for you of just being on the internet? Because I know that you're, well, I was looking at your Instagram this morning and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. But because I know you, you know, it's like, if I just didn't know you, if I assumed I didn't know you, I wouldn't know what to speak to you about necessarily, what to ask you. And I wonder, do people actually, are people brave enough to message you, to DM you, to message you on like TikTok, Instagram, all these places and just like ask you stuff or just compliment you? Like, do you get people approaching you a lot?
I kind of do. I noticed I did more when I got on YouTube. I got a lot of girls. Yeah. Oh yeah, you.
Yeah, I was one of them.
I got a lot of girls that would message me and be like, oh my God, like, or whatever. Even now, I haven't been on YouTube for the longest time and I still get girls messaging me like, please, can you come back? Like, we used to like your vlogs and stuff. But before YouTube and before I got my personality across a bit more, no, you would be surprised. No, I feel like a lot of people don't message me that often. And if guys do, for example, it's like the very, very confident ones that are like, okay, like I'm going to message this girl because I guess I do look like maybe I'm not that approachable. Yeah. Something that I'm trying to work on. But yeah, I think it's my West End face, unfortunately.
You look like you're going to kill us all, Shivani.
No, I need to smile a bit more. I constantly get told this because I feel like my personality is very smiley. I'm like laughing and smiling all day with my friends and family, which is why people get shocked when they meet me. They're like, oh, actually, you're really nice, which is good. It's a good thing.
Yes, you are a treasure to be, you know, protected at all costs in the modeling world, I feel. Have you yourself struggled with sort of, you know, maybe like mental health issues when it comes to your online persona versus who you are in real life versus your modeling job? Have you had ups and downs with it? What do you think has worked for you over the years that kind of almost like stops you from feeling a funky way?
I used to when I was younger.
Mm.
I feel like when I was younger, I was very confused. I was like, what am I doing? Like, you know, with me and modeling, I've never even thought of myself as a model. Even now, I don't think of myself as a model. I can't really explain it, but I don't think like, I'm just like, I do, this is my job. Like, I really don't attach it, which is why at the beginning I said I don't like introducing myself and being like, oh, my job's a model, because I can't explain it, but I don't really attach myself to it that much. I'm just, I do it every year and then I'm like, I'm still modeling. But yeah, at the beginning, it was a bit difficult because I was like, is this what I want to do? Like, there's so many things. The industry was a bit, it can be crazy and you just get thrown into things. You have to step outside of your comfort zone so much. Every time you're on set, you know, you don't really know what you're going to be doing. Now I feel like I've done everything to the point where like nothing can faze me and I don't really get nervous for anything anymore. But, you know, at the beginning when I was just a kid, it's hard, right? So yeah, I guess more towards the beginning, I've had struggles with it. And now I feel like my spiritual journey has helped me a lot. Yeah, like that's made me so strong from the inside that nothing really fazes me that much anymore. That's really helped.
What sort of things do you do as part of your spirituality practice that help you in difficult situations?
I feel like all the reading in general, the underlying message of everything that I read a lot of books that are to do with like self-help or spirituality. And they, like I said, they all have the same underlying message. And that helps me so much. Even though I know what that underlying message is, it's just nice to read the books just to stay in tune with it. So that's why I do that. And that helps me a lot. And then other than that, like meditation helps me, affirmations, I journal. I journal a lot. Like whenever I have a problem, I journal because I don't like to talk to people so much about my problems. So I just write it down and figure it out myself. And that helps me. And then, yeah, I mean, like sometimes even talking to myself out loud, that might sound weird. But when I'm like really stuck with something, I'll be like, okay, like I'll be driving and I'll literally be talking to myself out loud. I'll be like, why are you being like crazy? Like, stop thinking like this. And in like 5 minutes, I can like figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously not everything is so easy. But as you get older and like you, you know, are practicing these things, it does get easier.
Sure. I talk to myself a lot as well.
Yeah.
In second person. And I've read somewhere really randomly. I mean, I don't know the stats behind it, but apparently it is meant to actually help you with your self-esteem and general mental health and well-being to speak to you, to yourself like that, almost like you're like a kid
or kid,
just
yeah,
someone, you know, just standing there. Because I guess it helps you also disassociate from your problems. And that's something I'm quite curious about when it comes to your career and your work. So much of it can be associated with other people's energies coming at you or, you know, people judging you by the way you look and all of these things. Sometimes you just can't control. Like, what if you've got a spot on your face that day, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess how do you then kind of keep yourself separate from it? What other things do you do? Is it your, you know, the thing that you were mentioning about journaling and all the practices that you have that help you sort of just not deep it too much, basically?
I feel like what you said, you know, when you kind of look at yourself as a younger version of yourself, like I've had a lot of therapy in life as well. Since I was a child, I've had therapy because of stuff going on at home when I was younger. For as long as I can remember, I've had therapy. So I've always had the tools that I need to help me. And that thing of like looking at yourself as like a younger version, it helps. Like you're like, oh my God, I have to protect her at all costs. And that has really helped me a lot. Yeah, that's probably the main thing.
If baby Shivani was sitting next to you, what would you say to her today?
Oh, I'd be like, everything's going to be fine. Wow. Like it has turned out so good. And I used to worry a lot when I was little. Plus, I used to look at girls that would be like how I am now and be like, I want to be like her when I'm older. Mm. I would always like look at girls and be like, oh my God, like I want to be like her so bad. Mm. And I feel like even though I might not be 100% there, I'm definitely like well on the way. So yeah, I would just tell her like, stop stressing. It's going to be fine.
I think a lot of people may be watching this or people who follow you and know your work. They probably think that about you. They're probably like, I want to be like Shivani. I want to look like her. I want to have the job that she has. It looks so glamorous. She's so beautiful. Like I want to be her. What would you say to them? And what is something about your life that is maybe not as aspirational?
Yeah. I think what I would say to them is, I know this sounds like so cliche, but just to be yourself. I think we spend so much time trying to not be other people, but comparing ourselves because of social media and all this stuff. And I've done it. I'm like, I want to change this. I want to change that. What I do now is I look at myself, like I literally like created like this A3 piece of paper and it was just all about me. Everything I enjoy, like my friends, whatever, like just everything about me. And instead of like trying to change things, what I do is I'm like, how can I make these things better, but keep it authentic? Like, this is what I like. This is what I enjoy. You know, this is my favorite color. This is my best friend, whatever. And like, just work on all those areas instead of trying to always change things. I think the way that social media is, like society and stuff, unfortunately, especially for young girls, we're always like, oh, I want to change this. I want better this. I want better that. You know what I mean? I want to be skinnier. I want to be like bigger. I want to be whatever it is. And it's so sad. So I think what you've got to do is kind of look at yourself and just think, how can I be the best version of what I am? You know, of who I am. And the more that I've gone down my, you know, spiritual route and my spiritual journey, I feel like all that's happened with me is I've just started to like myself more. That's the one thing. I'm like more accepting of who I am. And I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, how can I work on myself as I am, but like just make it better?
It can be very easy for us both to sit here and have these chats, right? Being the privileged women that we are in so many ways. And it's interesting actually, because honestly, I should call this the privilege podcast, because I talk about it in every episode. And I think it's so important to acknowledge that, because there's so many layers to it. But it's like, you know, there's financial elements to privilege. There's also like, we both have certain, being Indian girls, we are light-skinned Indian girls that look a certain way, that probably don't have to deal with issues that other girls within our community do. And so I find it really sad for myself, and also for like you and for other women who may have grown up thinking, you know, oh, look at her, like I'm not good enough. Or I need to be a certain way, or I need to lighten my skin. Or like a perfect thing for me was, I was always insecure about certain features on my face. And I was just like, I want to be like prettier, and because people will like me more. I think sitting across from you, I want to ask you, is it overrated?
What, like looks. All that stuff? Yeah, I think so. Like, unfortunately, it's just the way that it is. And like, obviously, I'm in this industry, I'm doing this, I make a living off, I guess, the way that I look, right? Whether I like that or I don't, it's the way that I make a living. And yeah, there's a lot of things that need to change, a lot of things. Like, I find it difficult to sit here and be like, you know, like, it's to badmouth it, because like, it has given me a living, right? Yes, if I didn't have that, then I wouldn't be able to make money, you know, I wouldn't be able to support myself, I wouldn't have gotten all the opportunities. So I can't sit here and like completely badmouth it because it's given me a lot. But at the same time, I do see what's going on and I don't agree with it all. I don't agree with a lot of it. And I think there's so much that needs to change. But on a more positive note, I feel like it is going in a good direction. There's so much diversity now in the industry. Obviously, it's not anywhere near where it needs to be, unfortunately. But I can see, I don't know whether this is like a general thing and everyone can see it or whether it's just a few of us can see it that are like in the industry. But I can definitely see a shift like with so many things. Like there are certain designers from India that will shoot with like models that have like a darker complexion. There are, you know, agencies that will now sign models of all different like heights. There's, I think a lot of agencies have stopped with like the minimum height restriction for like runway.
5'8".
Yeah, it was 5'8". Yeah. I know it was 5'8" because I'm 5'8". So it was like.
I'm 5'6". Yeah.
But Kate Moss is 5'6". So they made an exception for her. It's not good enough because it was just her, I think, or like maybe there's like a handful of them. But now it's like so much more accepting. I know a lot of agencies have scrapped that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going in the right direction, but yeah, it's not all the way there.
No. I remember when we recorded last time, you told me a story about how you were asked to change your name. Are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, of course. It was my old agency in London, and they, what happened actually was that they had a model from New York called Shivani, and I think that what was happening is they just kept sending me her call sheets and stuff like that, and it got confusing for the agency. So I guess initially it was on the basis of like, this is getting too confusing, so let's just take a few letters off the start of this one's name, because I was really young then, so I didn't have the level of respect in the industry that I probably have now. So that, you know, now I feel like, because obviously I've been doing it a while, they wouldn't do that to me. Well, at least I would hope that they wouldn't. But back then, because I was so young and like new, they were like, oh, okay, well, that one's Shivani, so we'll just call this one Ivani. And that's basically what they did, which was so annoying. And I remember they kind of just sprung it on me. They were like, oh, you're Ivani now. And I was like, am I? Like, your name is so, it's such a big thing, right? It's like the main thing. It's how you introduce yourself. It's your identity. And I think a lot of people on set, also because of the way that I look, they thought that I was like half Russian and half Indian because of the name Iva or something like that. I'm not sure if that's a Russian name. Don't quote me on that. But I got that a lot.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, like, are you half Russian? And I was like, no, I'm like full Indian. I've done the DNA test. I'm like 98% Punjabi. I did it. I made sure. But yeah, that was a bit annoying. And on set, yeah, they would probably think that I'm like mixed race or something. With the bookings and stuff, I don't know if that was also a thing. Like, they didn't want to push me as an Indian model. I know that I'm with the squad now and they 100% push me as an Indian model. Like, whenever there's a big beauty campaign or anything going on and they need an Indian face, they're like, this one, like Shivani, you know, we want her to do it. So I'm like so grateful for that with my agency. Like, I love them.
I remember because I saw you on the Charlotte Tilbury Diwali campaign. Yeah. You were the face of that. Was it last year, a few years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so nice to see that there's so much more acceptance around diversity, right? Yeah. Do you think that it's a gimmick at the moment? And do you think it's going to last forever? Being an Indian model.
I think when I thought it might have been a bit of a gimmick or just like a it's cool for the moment thing when Bridgerton came out.
Yes.
And everything was like, obviously they made, I've forgotten what her name is, but they made the Sharma sisters, they made them the main characters of that, that season. Or I
Charitra think, and Simone.
Yeah, actually, I think. They made one of them the diamond of the season.
Yes.
And then it was like cool to be Indian because she was the diamond of the season. Then I thought, how long is this going to last for? But actually, I feel like it kind of like that and other things like that kind of pushed the door open a little bit more. Yeah, it made it cool for the moment. But I definitely think because of the influence of Indian people now in the West, that door has like kind of being pushed open a lot, not swung open, but it's definitely been pushed open a lot. And I don't think that's going to change now.
Good on us.
Yeah.
So we spoke about really briefly some of the campaigns you've worked for, and I can name some pretty awesome names. I'm so excited.
You hate it. Go on.
I'm going to say it. Oh, no. So you were recently on the cover of Tatler magazine. You have been quite a long-standing model for Charlotte Tilbury. I know because I've seen you in Selfridges and I've sent you the photo. Yeah. Sabyasachi, which was actually, I think, the first time I maybe saw your face on some campaign. And I didn't know it was you. And then I looked back and I was like, oh my gosh, it's her. Oh. And I know you've done Harrods, Anita Dongre, and Papa Don't Preach as well. Did you strive for those campaigns or did they come to you?
Honestly, I don't think I've strived for anything in my modeling career. Yeah. Like I said, I don't even, every year I'm like, oh, should I just carry on doing it? Or there have been no goals. Like I could have actually been more on it with my goals. Like I know there's a lot of models or like talent that are like, I want to work with this brand. I want to do this. I want to do that. I've never been like that. I'm just like, whatever's meant to be for me will be for me. And if it's not supposed to be for me, it won't be. And I've just gone with the flow like throughout my whole career. So no, like even the Charlotte Tilbury campaign that I did, it came around in like the most random way. I don't know if I ever told you that I was placed in India for 6 months. Mm-hmm. I did some unpaid editorial with a lady called Nisha who found me from like a campaign that I was doing in India. She was a stylist. She was like, would you come to like Udaipur and Jaipur and do my do like a bridal editorial for me. She put me in a Sabia outfit. So I did it in the outfit and it was really nice. I flew back to the UK and then Sabia found the picture. He flew me back to India and he was like, I want you to do my campaign. So I did the campaign and then like fast forward like maybe like 6 months or a year. It was like a long time. Charlotte Tilbury, like somebody from Charlotte Tilbury, they were looking for the Indian face for her new Flawless Filter foundation campaign.
I love that foundation.
Yeah, it is a good foundation.
I'm wearing it right
you?
Now.
Yeah. I do love it. It's so good. But yeah, and then they put like a Google image search in of me and they were like, from the Sabia campaign. And they were like, we want this model to be the Indian face for this campaign. And I'd done that shoot, you know, so long ago. And this came from like a campaign that I did like a while back in India. So if you just look at the route, like you can't write that or remake that, you know, like it just, I guess like some things are just supposed to be, right? So that's my mentality with everything. Because I think that I've seen a lot of models get very attached to things like working with certain brands or like their expectations are really high and then they fall through, or you know, there's a lot of rejection in the industry as well. And if you are too attached to it, then you're going to be let down a lot because it's really out of your hands. Like if there's a campaign and they want like a blonde girl with blue eyes, like I'm not blonde with blue eyes, so it's not realistic that I'm going to book that campaign or whatever. So I just always have in the back of my head that whatever's meant to be for me will be. Yeah, I just flow with it.
I love that. And I think that's the best way, isn't it? Just staying open to opportunities, taking stuff on, but not really attaching yourself too much to it, because I think that's how you're able to sit in front of me and talk confidently about your journey, because you're not, you know, constantly like, I'm not happy because I didn't get that. Like, we're not talking about all the campaigns you didn't get. Like, things happen, things don't happen. And you look back and it all sort of fit together perfectly for you, right? Yeah. Well, not perfectly, but, you know.
Nice. Perfectly for me, I guess, like in my own little way.
Yeah. Tell me, do you work really hard behind the scenes to prepare for your shoots, for your campaigns, or do you kind of freestyle it?
I feel like modeling is like a full time, you're constantly working, constantly, because it's a lifestyle. You have to be watching everything. Like I'm very into my health. I'm so into like my fitness, into what I eat, my nutrition, my mindset, you know, everything. And the way I carry myself, like it touches on every aspect of your life. So even though when I'm on set, I'm on set, okay, it might be like a 4 hour shoot, a 12 hour shoot, 16 hours, whatever, but actually it's all the little things that go on behind the scenes, which would make me say that I work really hard, because I'm constantly making sure everything's balanced. My mental health, which obviously in this industry you have to like make sure is in check. And just the way I eat.
What do you eat?
what do I eat? I try. I mean, I just had a cream egg.
You did, yeah. She offered me one.
Said, no, you're going to have one after this.
I will have
I'm
one.
I'm going to make you.
I didn't want to have like cream egg in my
mouth.
Yeah,
of course. I asked you right at the wrong time. And so I was like, do you want a cream egg? And you were like, just about
I'm
to
like
start.
I'm like sitting here.
But yeah, I do. I'm like balanced, I guess. But I do try and eat clean. I've had all kinds of journeys with my nutrition. At one point, I was like vegan for 2 years. At one point, I was keto. I've done everything, you know, but now I just try and balance. I have whatever I want when I want it, but not too much of it. Because, I mean, I have to make sure that I'm still looking after my body and like watching the things that I'm putting in it, because obviously it's my job, right? To look a certain way, and for my statistics and everything to be correct.
What does that feel like when you have to sort of, you know, keep those numbers in check? Because that's probably really hard.
Yeah, I've never really been one for numbers, to be honest. I'm just like, if it's meant to be, it will be. And then if
genetics helps.
I think for me, yeah, to be honest. And my metabolism, so yeah, like I'm generally, I'm okay, fortunately. I know there's some models that are like, oh my God, like my hips are like 1 inch bigger or whatever. And I feel so bad for them. But I thought, you know what, if I'm going to one day put on loads of weight, then maybe I'm not supposed to be a model like right now, or I'm supposed to do something else. So I just generally just try and make sure I'm happy with the way that I look. I think even if I wasn't modeling, I would still want to look a certain way, which is probably like how I look now. I'm happy with the way that I look now. And I, like I said, I would still do it like this, even if I wasn't modeling. So yeah, I just try and eat clean. I don't restrict myself. I just try and have a balance, but in moderation. Also, like, I don't know, the further on my spiritual journey's gotten, I don't know if this is the same for a lot of people, but you also, when you have that awareness, it comes through in what you eat as well. So you also just want to put things into your body that are very nourishing for you. Yeah. So
what's an example of like a typical meal in Shivani's
for me?
Day?
I think like just normal, like I would have like a good amount of protein, carbs and vegetables. Like I try and make sure I get enough fiber. So I'll have like, say for example, now, like I think I'm going to go back to being vegetarian again, but right now I am eating meat. I don't really like it so much. I, like I said, I stopped for 2 years. But now, like, so because I'm eating meat, I would have like chicken, vegetables and like, I don't know, like potatoes or like something, but I just try and like balance it all out.
For the record, we are about to have a huge plate of pasta.
Are we? Yeah, we are. Oh no.
What about your workouts? What sort of workouts do you enjoy? I know we've done Pilates before. I've actually gotten back into it this year.
Have you?
Yeah, we should go again.
Yeah, we should. You know, I've got a reformer machine now at home.
Really? Well, no wonder we're not going together anymore.
I bought one, so I do it like, it's so helpful, like obviously.
I
can do it whenever I want now.
Exactly. But, so what else works for you though?
Walking.
Yeah.
Uphill, like incline, I walk. I make sure I do that every day. I think walking is just good for me in general. And Pilates, yeah, now I've got my reformer machine. I do it like every time I work out, I'll just do a little bit just to stretch myself out. I think it's really good. And then what else do I do? Weights, but not as much as I used to. Before I used to lift like heavy, heavy weights. Not so much anymore. Like I just do what I feel comfortable with. I like listen to my body a little bit more, and I'm just like, you know, I don't have to be lifting like the heaviest weights and like eating loads of protein and trying to put on so much muscle. I've like been more accepting of my body shape now, which is that I'm like, you know, I'm naturally, I guess, like slim, so it's difficult for me to put on muscle. And I wanted to put on muscle, so I was like, I have to lift all these weights and I have to eat all this protein and have protein shakes. I'm not like that anymore. I'm like, this is how I look, and like as long as I'm like, you know, happy with how lean and like toned I am, then like it's fine.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess it works for you in terms of your job as well.
It does, yeah.
It's whatever you need for that. In terms of health, physical and mental, what are the sort of things you keep yourself in check with to make sure that when you're older, you're, you know, aging well and not having as many issues? Because that's the way I kind of approach it now as well. It's like, of course, there's like the physical element to it, but I've also realized what my body type is, and I'm kind of like medium, but naturally tend to gain if I'm not like keeping exercising and eating well. I think my main thing is food, honestly. But now I'm always thinking like 70-year-old Mitz, she needs to not have that many joint issues and, you know, that kind of thing.
I think stretching and like yoga and Pilates is very helpful for the physical. And then in terms of like my mental, I feel like just I try as much as I can. I try to live an unproblematic life. I mean, is very difficult to do because there's constantly problems. Obviously, that is, you know, the nature of life and it's fine. But as much as I can, I try not to, you know, I just try and keep things positive, very light. If there's like problematic people in my life or problematic situations that I can avoid, I will avoid them at all costs. And I just try and like make sure my inner world is very peaceful. I feel like when you do that, like I just feel like it shows, like it shows on the outside. You have like a glow about you that comes from the inside. I don't know if I've seen people that are much older as well that are very peaceful, and they have like managed to like slow down the aging process because they look so young and they're like, they're not young anymore, like they're older but they look like 10, 20 years younger. Because and those people, they have that glow about them, right? Because they've got that inner peace. And obviously, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult. That's something that needs to be worked on every day, right? Because there's constantly things that are going on. There's constantly things that are going to come up. And, you know, you have your own mental battles.
It's true.
Things happen every day, people. You know, things are constantly going to get thrown at you. But I think I've just, like, I learn every day to try and perfect just, like, how I deal with that. Little by little, like day by day, staying very present and figuring out how I can just get through the day as well as possible.
You're doing so well. And you are showing that glow, by the way.
Oh my goodness.
You've always had it about you, I think. Just like this element of peace. You know, people have, everyone has an aura. No, I really believe that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
wow. That's so good to know.
And auras have colors too. I mean, I've not gone into it in that much detail, but
they do.
But yeah. Yours is kind of purpley, like this background. It is. It's kind of like, I'm just here. I'm not really getting in anyone's way. I'm just doing my thing. Mm. And if anything, I think people might look at that and almost feel a little bit like, how is she so, you know, sure of herself being like the kind of person, like the kind of, I guess, having the career that she's got.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I think it's also important to acknowledge that, you know, there's work and then there's you, and we're all so multi-layered, aren't we, as people?
Definitely.
And also not every day is good. I'm not sure you'll have a bitch fit on some days too.
Oh my god, yeah. I think I had one, like I almost had one for the first time in my whole career the other day when I was in Dubai on a shoot, and I was like texting my best friends. I was like, imagine in my whole career, like today's the day that I'm going to lose it. And my friends found it so funny. They were like, please, can you get someone to record it? It's going to be so funny. I was like, guys, is this the advice they were giving me, that you're giving me? They were like, just make sure someone records it if you lose it, because we would pay to see you lose it. But yeah, every day is different.
Is that the day you messaged me?
No, but that day, that was, oh gosh, that day. That was a new moon, by the way.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah, that explains a lot, hey? that day, I think, I don't know what happened. I feel like I was releasing so much, because when I was texting you, I was crying. I was also on the train back from London, because I just was like, I don't want to drive to London today. And I cried the whole way, the whole 2-hour journey home, and then the whole evening, and then just like half of that whole day, I was just crying, like I just felt so low. And then I text you and I was like, oh my god, like I can't wait to do this podcast, there's so many things that I want to talk about. And I was gonna go in today, right? But obviously at the beginning of this, I was like, okay, maybe I don't want to go so in as I could. Let's try and keep it a little bit light, because my mood's different today. But that day was like a crazy day for me. I feel like I was just like, you know, when you just have one of those days where the world just gets on top of you, and you just start, you go into a bit of a negative spiral. But that day was weird, because I think that's the first time I've ever felt like that, you know, where I physically can't stop myself from crying. But it was good. Like the next day I woke up and the sun was shining and I felt better. I was like, it was good that I got it all out of my system.
I'm so like sorry that you had that day. And I want to know, was it work related? And was it one of your kind of lower points, let's say, in your work journey?
I don't know if it was so much work related. I think it was more personal.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, unfortunately for me, I feel like sometimes the two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. You know, I don't want to sound like, you know, there's certain things that I could say and people could be like, oh my God, how dare she say that? But I feel like when you are a certain way, or maybe you look a certain way, or you have a certain job, it's weird because people might think that because of the way that you look, you are, your work, whatever, that you would judge them. But actually, there's the opposite of that as well, where you actually get judged a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, so I find that a lot.
Do you get judged a lot for the way that you look?
I think so, yeah. I think so. Mm. I think actually, like, the more that I've, like, lived life, the more that I've found that maybe it's just obviously from my own perspective, because what else do I have to compare it to? But I feel like I've found it's like there's more judgment on this side than maybe the other. Like, people, I go into situations and people would think like, oh, you know, she's going to judge me because she has this, or she's like acquired this, or she looks like this, or she presents herself like this, so she's going to judge me, and I'll like shy away. But actually, by them shying away, they're actually judging you because they think that you're going to be like that. And that's like the opposite of what I'm like. I'm not judgmental. I don't think I'm better than anyone else. I don't go into situations, I don't go on set being like demanding, get me this, get me that. I try and be the opposite of that. But yeah, it works both ways, I guess, right? Unfortunately.
It does. And I think it's sad that the world works in a way where you do get judged for how you look, how you present yourself, how you fit into the norm,
yeah,
and how you fit into the, you know, the aspired aesthetic, let's say, because also, like, I think that's just how humanity works. And that's why, like, dating works the way it does as well, in the online fashion where you'll put up filtered photos of yourself, or the way that Instagram works. Because I know that one thing you said to me that day when you messaged was that I am not my Instagram. And I know it sounds really, like, I don't know, silly saying it or funny, but you are not that perception that you're putting out into the world. And what is it that you want to do to change that for yourself?
I think now it's just getting my personality across a lot more, which is why I also was like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like what I need to do right now is like get my personality across more, so people understand that, like, I mean, I can't change it for every single person that's out there, but I can at least change it for myself. Like, I'm not just a model. I'm not just like what people might think is like a pretty face. For guys that are interested in me, I'm not just like something or someone that would look nice on your arm that you can take to events and like do, you know, be like, oh, like, I've had that a lot with guys as well, where they're like, oh, like, I'm with her, like, like, I'm, there's so much more to like me and to people than just like judging them based on what you think they might be like, or their Instagram profile, or anything. So I think it's really important for me, if I want to make that shift in my own life and my own personal life, to try and get like me across the way that I want to, like, what, everything I know about myself, everything you guys, like my closest friends, know about me, to try and get that across, and hope that that will create some kind of shift, I guess.
We missed the YouTube petition to get the YouTube channel.
I'm going to bring it back. I've been filming for it for like the past 2 years. Oh. I've been filming everything.
Amazing.
Yeah, but my friends are like, you're filming, because I flip my phone that way so it films in the way that YouTube would be. I don't know if it's horizontal or vertical.
Yeah, horizontal.
Horizontal, right? So I'm like, I'll film for Instagram and then I'll flip the phone that way, and they're like, are you filming for your YouTube, the channel that's like never coming back? But it will come back.
Oh, the footage is there. I want to see it. There, yeah. No pressure, of course, and we got to protect ourselves first.
Yeah.
But no, I'm interested in your skincare, so please put it up and I will learn from you.
Oh,
I'm on my own. Thank you. I'm on my own skincare journey, but yeah, I've been quite lucky genetically.
Skin.
Great. So modeling, is it a male dominated industry? Let's talk about that. And what's the really ugly side of it? And how have you had to deal with it? And how do people around you deal with it?
I feel like the people that I meet on a daily basis, it's not male dominated, because as it kind of filters down, you are with people that probably know more like what they're talking about, which I feel like is women more in this industry. Or maybe that's unfair to say, actually, because men as well, but I don't know, like, for me, my own personal experience, I can only talk from my own personal experience, I think it's more women that would like relate more to the industry, or at least like the beauty side and stuff. I don't know if that's bad to say, it's just my own experience, but I guess higher up, there are always like the men that are there, you know, that are actually like they're in charge, but I don't meet them that often. Sometimes I meet the client. But yeah, there's obviously like way up, like where it's where we just don't meet them because we're the talent, right? We're where it's happening, it's on set, like we're creating whatever needs to be created. But I can only imagine that the ship's being sailed by a man.
Can it be scary? I know that there's been, you know, Me Too movement has been so rife, and
yeah.
We talked about the film industry a little bit earlier and how like the modeling and film is kind of intertwined. We know what goes on in the film industry. Is it similar in the modeling industry too?
I feel like for me, because of maybe the way that I carry myself, people would probably be a bit intimidated to like kind of put those things on me. I think I've done a really good job at like protecting myself and making sure that I come across as somebody that you can't really cross that line with. However, I won't say that I haven't heard of things through like some of my closest friends, which has just been devastating. And also the really, really, really confident guys, yeah, they have like, they will try and cross the line. And I have had like personal experiences where men are like that, you know, and that's like part of the reason why like my dating life and stuff has been so difficult, because I at one point like hated men. And I know that's so unfair to say, because obviously not all men are trash.
Yeah.
But there was a large chunk of my life where I definitely thought they were, because of just the things that I've experienced and the things that I've seen and just the way they are. And like, even though, yeah, they might not be so confident to come up to someone like me and be like, you know, if you do this, you'll get this. They won't put it like that. They never will. Maybe they will with some people, but I've never had it like so, you know, in my face. But there has been an underlying like weirdness. You can feel it.
Yeah.
You can feel it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they know, like they'll push and push to a certain line, and then they'll know with me, like, let's not even try with this one. It's not going to happen.
That's the benefits to being intimidating and having a resting bitch face.
Exactly. It does pay off sometimes, hey. But yeah, it's very unfortunate. But yeah, these things do happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's the world we live in, right? And like you said, I think, I mean, maybe it's also luck, like maybe not having had that many experiences like directly, but you absolutely cannot blame the person that it's happening to. It's just really unfortunate, isn't it?
It is unfortunate. Yeah. Some people want to as well, right?
Yes.
The other side of it, which you have to understand as well. There's some women that, and men, that actually, you know, I'm friends with so many different people from so many different walks of life. Never do I judge. I've got friends from all different backgrounds that have, you know, done and like experienced things that people would probably like fiercely disagree with, which I'm like so chilled about. I'm like, whatever, like, you know, it doesn't bother me. Like, maybe I wouldn't do it myself, but it doesn't bother me. But yeah, like it works both ways. You do also get like, you get people that are like a bit like, you know, predators that are like, oh, like, you know, whatever, like you can only imagine. But then you also get it the other way around, where you're like, you can get men and women that are like, I don't know, like they almost want it to kind of be like that so they can get where they want to go.
Or they feel like they need to in order to fast track themselves. And it's the system, isn't it?
It's the system
that's messed up and makes you feel like that is an option to make it faster or, you know, quicker or whatever.
Definitely.
That really makes me sad.
It does.
But you're a force in this industry, and I'm really glad that you are being your true self within it, because I know that's not easy to do every single day when you have all sorts of energies and people's opinions and all. I mean, especially because it's such a, you know, appearance-based kind of job that you do. I can only imagine how difficult that must be at times. If you had a daughter, Shivani, would you want this career for her?
So if I had a daughter, would I want her to do it? No. But could I stop her from doing it? No. I'm not like, I have no leg to stand on. But at the same time, I would like to think that I would raise her well enough to be able to do it and to navigate her way through it like well, like I like to think I have. You know, and it's just for me, it's obviously a bit scary, right? Because of all the things that I've seen. So I'm like, if you're going to do it, like communicate with me, talk to me, let me help you, you know, let me protect you. But like I said, I don't really have a leg to stand on in terms of saying no, because I do it myself.
Thank you for that honest answer. And I feel like you were so sure
Yeah.
Because I hadn't given you that question to prep.
No, you hadn't. Cheeky.
Threw you under the bus.
I think it's just because I'm protective, right? And I can see the things that go on in this industry. But then at the same time, I also don't know what goes on in other industries. So I can't sit here and be like, I wouldn't want her to do this because God knows what goes on in like the finance industry or whatever else, you know?
There are predators in every industry.
Yeah. And if I could have it my way, if I had a kid, I would want to protect them from the whole world. But obviously that's not realistic, right? You can't just have a kid and then keep it in a house and like lock the door.
Keep it.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay there, child.
Cage it up. Bless it. No, I can't.
No. They will have their own wings and we'll need to let them fly.
Yeah, we can't clip them. So, yeah.
But it's inspiring because I think they will also look up to you and be like, she's done so well. She's protected herself as much as she possibly could. And she's making it work for herself. And so I think a lot of people would look up to that and say, I can do it too.
Yeah.
So for people who are doing that, what's one kind of lesson learning tip, anything you want them to take away after this episode for anybody wanting to get into the modeling industry?
I think like go for it. It is like, I think one of my bookers or managers, I can't remember who it was, but they said to me like, this is one of, if not the most fun industry that we're in. And like what I used to do is worry a lot, and they were like, have fun, like socialize, meet people, go out, like go to parties, do like, you know, have fun on set, like, you know, it's you're the talent, like it's about you, like just have fun. Because in my younger days I would be like, oh my god, like I'm so nervous, but now I'm like, oh my god, like this is gonna be such a fun shoot, you know. So I think have fun, but also just to like ground yourself, to be yourself, like I said at the beginning, like as much as you can, just focus on being yourself. Don't change for anyone, but just to stay grounded as much as possible.
Thank you for sharing that. Last question for you is, what do you have strong game in?
Strong game. I feel I have strong game in being authentic to myself, like being true to myself. I feel like that's my one thing.
And it's not for others, right? It's for you.
Yeah. Life is for you, right? Yeah. No one sees all the things that happen behind the scenes. Only you walk in your own shoes every day. So as long as like at the end of it, I feel like I'm being true to myself, then yeah.
You can love yourself and forgive yourself and just be okay with yourself.
Yeah.
Especially for us because we spend so much time by ourselves.
Yeah. We love it.
Thank you so much, Shivani, for your time today and for coming on. I've had so much fun talking to you.
Oh, me too.
And I feel like I've learned a lot about you that we've not spoken about like outside.
And so we talk about everything.
I know, literally. No, thank you for being so candid. I'm really sure that this has, you know, brought a few things to light about your work and just you for people. And I'm sure people like will get to know you a bit better through it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, always. Come back for a second round.
Definitely.